Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Team All of It, we're always on the lookout for upcoming albums, books, movies, you name it. But despite the name of the show, we don't always have the time to cover every new release, which is why on Mondays we bring in cultural experts to guide us through what's out there in the world of music, books, podcasts. Today, we're talking children's books. Here to tell us about the best picks for summer reading, Maggie Pouncey is our guest. She owns Stories Bookshop and Storytelling Lab in Brooklyn and is the author of Perfect Reader and the forthcoming picture book, The Fort on the Moon. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
And joining us to talk about her debut children's book, Lambslide, is best-selling novelist Anne Patchett. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
Listeners, our phone lines are open. Are you looking for a summer reading recommendation for your little one, or maybe not so little one anymore? Maybe you're looking for some ideas to keep your kids reading once school's out. You can ask our experts or tell us which new kids book you're most excited about. Here's our phone number, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. All of It listeners, come join the conversation. So, Anne, your new book, Lambslide, which makes every person on our staff smile when we say it. So it's this great play on words. It's literally about a lamb slide. The lambs want to slide. But it's also a picture book about democracy. How did the story come up?
So a little over a year ago, Connor Lamb won the 17th Congressional District in Pennsylvania. And there was a picture in the New York Times the morning after he won of somebody holding up a piece of poster board that said Lambslide on it. And I looked at my husband and I said, I've got to go upstairs for a second. This is, I just figured everyone would be flooding the market with books called Lambslide. It turned out that wasn't the case.
Oh, that is the greatest Genesis story of a children's book.
So, and then I got an email from Connor Lamb's mom, which just made my whole life. Oh. So it was very exciting.
Moms will be momming, no matter how old their little ones are. So what was different for you about writing a kid's book?
Well, kids' books, my book has about 750 words. I've got a new novel coming out in the fall that's got about 100,000 words. So, you know, it's just a lot faster and a lot more fun and really, really fun to do things that are funny. I crack myself up. I make other people laugh. That's a complete joy.
Also, the things with kids' books, as someone who's read a lot to my 11-year-old over time, is you have to keep mom and dad engaged as well as the kid. What is it like to try to straddle that line, Anne?
You know, I wasn't really thinking about it because I'm grown up, so I'm just keeping myself engaged. And it's, you know, things that I think are funny, and then hopefully it sifts down into kids. I am an idiot savant. I have written like 10 of these at this point, and they're going to just keep coming out. It's all because of Robin Price Glasser, who's the fantastic illustrator. She came into my bookstore, Parnassus, in Nashville, and Fancy Nancy, she was the illustrator for Fancy Nancy, had just wound down, and she asked me to do this, and it's been a great partnership. So I kind of can't stop.
It's very timely to talk to kids about democracy, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I loved the idea of voting when I was a kid. It seemed so grown up and private. I remember my parents used to always say, you never can ask somebody who they voted for. That's completely a secret. It's your own business. It was like the voting booth and the confessional seemed like the same sort of thing when I was a kid. So, yeah, you know, anytime you're talking to kids about voting and building consensus, the lambs go around to the other animals on the farm, ask them about what they want, then it's good to just plant those seeds. Hopefully I'm not hitting them over the head with it, though.
It's very, very funny. There are parts in it, laugh out loud. So, Meg, when you think about what makes a good children's book, what is it? What do the elements need to be there?
Well, I think that one thing I love about picture books is that they don't need to really explain the difference between pretend and real. They sort of create a world where anything can happen and it doesn't need to be over-explained. And I think right now there's an amazing appetite for weirdness in children's books, which I really love. I think it's always been there, but now you really see it kind of blossoming. And I think, as you say, it has to be a story that is engaging to the generations, right? Because this is usually an experience that's shared between parent and child or grown up and kid. And so it's something that is just good storytelling.
And because you're the co-owner of Parnassus Books, you see a lot of different books come in. Are there, what do kids want? And then what do parents want these days?
gosh, I probably don't really know. I just know what I want.
Okay.
and you know what, the books that I am always picking up and selling to people, I am a slave to Sandra Boynton. I love board books, and the idea of somebody being that entertaining in 40 words, you know, as opposed to my lazy 75. But those board books are books that a parent can read 10,000 times, and they're still funny and they're still fresh.
Let's take a call. This is Sharon calling from Manhattan. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
So I have a 13-year-old son, and he loves verse novels. And he's read Kwame Alexander, but he's a little beyond that now. He just read The Poet X by, I think her last name is Acevedo, which was phenomenal. But they all have female protagonists. Are there any male protagonists that you would recommend in verse novels?
That's so interesting. Any suggestions for Sharon?
That's a great question. I mean, the Kwame Alexander books that you mentioned, I think center mostly around boys and sports, and those are just absolutely fabulous. But I think you're right. I mean, I love The Poet X. One of the books on my list for summer reading is her new book, Elizabeth Acevedo's new book, With the Fire on High, which is actually written in prose, but also centers on a young woman. And also Brown Girl Dreaming by Jacqueline Woodson, another amazing novel in verse.
My favorite. I love that.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And those books are so good at getting kids to see poetry as storytelling. But you're right. I think that there is room for some more. Oh, Jason Reynolds. Jason Reynolds has written, is an amazing author, and some of his books are in prose, but he has written some novels in poetry for kids that center around boys, so definitely check him out.
Good luck with that, Sharon. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. We're talking about summer books, summer lit for kids. Our guests are Ann Patchett. She's written a new book called Lamb Slide, and Maggie Pouncey, owner of Stories Bookshop and Storytelling Lab. Let's look at some picture books. I see down here, I love this, Hair Love by Matthew Cherry. We've been trying to get Matthew Cherry on the show because this is a great story. Tell us about Hair
Super.
Love.
Hair Love is great. We actually had the illustrator of that book, Vashti Harrison, in our shop yesterday for our Sunday story time, and she is a just phenomenal illustrator. And this is a story about a young black girl named Zuri, and her dad is home alone with her, and it's a really important day, and he has to do her hair. And it's just this very sweet story about a father and a daughter, and you know, one of the things Matthew Cherry says about it is that he wanted to show an African-American father as deeply involved in his child's life. And so there's that representation in the book that is fabulous, but it's also just a wonderful story about hair and looking good and, you know, parental love.
So. And he's also he's a filmmaker.
Yes, and a former NFL player.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, can't he do?
kind of layers to that one. The important thing about Margaret Wise Brown by Mac Barnett. And I heard you.
I love this book. Well, I love Mac Barnett, and I love also everything he does with John Clausen. But the important thing to know about Margaret Wise Brown is so terrific because it kind of goes into all sorts of uncomfortable places. You know, she skinned her own rabbits. Does that make you uncomfortable? Well, it happened. She did. And she doesn't get invited to the big children's book party at the library, so she sits out on the steps with her editor and they have a picnic. I mean, she is not portrayed as completely likable all the time, but she is portrayed as the genius that she was. And it's such a celebration of a book.
And Maggie, for people who are like, I know the name, but I can't place it, tell people who she is.
So she is the author of Goodnight Moon and The Runaway Bunny and The Little Fur Family and so many of the classic children's books. And I agree. I just think this is such a special book. And nonfiction picture book biography is a really exciting genre right now, I think. And this is a great one.
I will tell
you. And I'd like to just put in a plug for my favorite Margaret Wise Brown book, which is a little bit obscure, Mr. Dog, about the dog who owns himself.
Mr. Dog.
It's a little golden book. It's kind of hard to find, but, you know, it's worth it.
All right. I was very interested, ladies, at my son's parent-teacher conference. I asked about summer reading, and his teacher suggested a bunch of graphic novels. And I thought, you know, I was like, sort of the old fogey in me was like, graphic novels for summer reading? But this seems to be something that, you know, the sort of pedagogy is saying, yeah, kids can read this.
I'm really all for it. I think that, you know, I get it. Like, you're spending $15 on a book. Your kid's going to read it in 45 minutes. You're thinking, like, what? I really want to get a little more time out of this. Also, kids love graphic novels so much. It feels like candy in some way. But I feel like if your kid thinks that reading is candy, you're really winning. we're playing for the long game. And I think pleasure is really what it's all about, especially in summertime. And also, graphic novels are really amazing. There's amazing graphic novels for adults right now, and the sort of interplay of the visual storytelling and the words. And I do have a favorite for summer reading right now. It came out recently. It's called This Was Our Pact by Ryan Andrews. And he lives in Japan, in the countryside, and to me it has kind of a My Neighbor Totoro feeling. It's this sort of adventure, fantasy, boy friendship. I really loved it.
And one that I love that's been out a couple of years, El Defo by Cece Bell, who I just adore.
Oh, yes.
But I think that graphic novels, along with The Wimpy Kid and Captain Underpants, I think of all of those books as gateway drugs. You know, what matters is that you start. It doesn't really matter where you start. A kid who reads nothing will always read nothing. This is true for adults as well. A kid who reads a book maybe with pictures or that seems a little easy, as long as they're having a positive experience, they are going to go on and read other books.
So we don't care about the reading delivery system, just reading.
Right, exactly.
Let's go to Carrie in Greenwich Village. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for calling All of It.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm ringing to recommend Laura Tucker's first novel, All the Grays on Green Street. She's for ages 8 to 12, or 80, as far as I'm not yet there. But it's set in Soho in the late 70s, and the protagonist, whose name is Olympia, is a little girl who loves art and is really... The discussion of art and creation is every bit as good as something in the adult book, The Vivisector by Patrick White. But what happens at the start is that her father, who's an art restorer, has suddenly disappeared with a statue, which a lot of people seem to want to get hold of. And she's obviously concerned about him, concerned too, because following this, her mother has taken to her bed. It's a wonderful story about, you know, it's just an exploration of love, art. It's an amazing adventure. And there's a scene in it set at the Met, which rivals anything from the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler.
Carrie, thank you so much for calling in. My guests are Maggie Pouncey as well as Anne Patchett. We're talking about summer reading for kids. Let's get to the young adult readers. Anne, what do you suggest for our young adult readers out there?
You know, one of the things that I really like is this trend of adult books that are being rewritten and repackaged for young adult readers. And a lot of them are great for boys, a lot of sports books and history books. Strong Inside by Perry Wallace, about Perry Wallace, who was the first African-American basketball player in the SEC. I think that's a terrific book.
What do you recommend for our young adult readers, Maggie?
Well, I definitely wanted to plug the With the Fire on High by Elizabeth Acevedo, but also I think one thing that's happening with young adult books is they seem like they're exploring things like gender issues in a quicker, more complicated and nuanced way in some way than adults. Maybe they're quicker to respond to movements in culture in some way. And there's a book that was recommended to me by a librarian named Kyle Lukoff, who's also a children's book author, called Birthday, which is about, it's a friendship story, and it's about a transgender girl, but it's told in this really great structure where these two characters, Morgan and Eric, were born on the same day, and it tells their story on six consecutive birthdays that they share. And so it's just a really amazing structure, and it's a really, really powerful story of the sort of anguish of one friend coming out with their true identity to another.
In our last minute, is there a classic book that each of you thinks, one of the classics, that a kid could really get into this year, a kid who's a very 2019 kind of kid? What do you think, Anne?
I love Rudyard Kipling. I think that's so incredibly incorrect of me. But to go to go all the way back to Mowgli, and it's such beautiful writing, an amazing, amazing book.
Kipling. And how about you, Maggie?
Well, I think I always go to E.B. White and Roald Dahl, and I just think you can't go wrong with either of them and any of their books, for sure.
My guests have been Maggie Pouncey and Anne Patchett. We've been talking about Kids Lit for the summer. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Stay with me. We have more of All of It at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.